Today's daf is Bechoris daf Nun Zayin. We are 13 lines from the bottom of daf Nun Vav Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza. So we're moving along, continuing to discuss the halachas of Maisa Behema, specifically the idea that if a man dies, he leaves over many behemoths and two sons, whether or not those sons are now going to be chayiv in Maisa Behema or not, depends on whether they divided the estate. The Mishnah said that in the event that the brothers did not divide the estate, the halacha is that even if they're acting as partners, they're investing or transacting with these behemoths that they yarshined, the halacha is that they'd be chayiv in Maisa Behema. The father, when he was alive, was chayiv in Maisa Behema. This estate wasn't divided yet. Thus, we look at the estate from a technical standpoint, as if it was still in the father's rishos. If the father would be chayv and ma'aseh behemah, the brothers would be chayv and ma'aseh behemah as well. Stating that if they divided the estate and then decided, let's be partners together, why compete against each other? Let's go into business together. So they now, after the chalukah, decide to become partners. The halacha is they'll be potter from ma'aseh behemah. And it's based on an idea that's learned out from a pasuk in the parasha of Bechor, that says that partners, shutfim, are potter from the halachas of Maisa Behema. So really, whether or not brothers that divide a Yerusha or are in transacting with these animals that they yarshin are going to be chayv and Maisa Behema or not, based on the simple reading of the Mishnah, what it would depend on is whether they divided the estate or they didn't divide the estate. If they didn't divide the estate, then they're going to be chayv and Maisa Behema, just like the father was chayv and Maisa Behema, even though the father's not alive. So technically, the father's role in the behemoths should no longer be relevant. It doesn't matter. We look at the estate, the tfisas habayis, it's learned out from a pasuk, as if it's still under the ownership of the one person, meaning the father, as a result, is going to be a chiyuv ma'aseh behema. Once they divide it, they become partners again. Then you have the loch of shutfin, and based on the idea of shutfin, they would be potter from ma'aseh behema. The Mishnah said that there's an inverse relationship between when ha'achim shecholku would be chayiv and ma'isa behema versus when they would be chayiv and kalboin. That's the little surcharge that the Chachamim tacked onto the chiyuv machsa shekel that we spoke about yesterday, which isn't going to be so relevant today's daf. Either way, zok to Gemara Amarav Anin. The Gemara begins with a very big chiddush of the Amiran. Lo yishanu, this halacha of the Mishnah was only said ela shecholku gidoyim keneged tiyoshim v'tiyoshim keneged gidoyim. When the brothers divided the Yerusha and then became partners again, the Mishnah says they're going to be potter from Maisa Behema. That's only true if when they divided the estate, they didn't say, I'll take one sheep, you take one sheep, I'll take one sheep, you take another sheep. But rather, they divided it in a somewhat unequal way. Meaning it was equal maybe from a value standpoint, but the way they divided was, they said, you take a gdi and I'm going to take a tiyosh. Those are different types of animals. It's in that case, if they did the chalukah, then they became partners again, we say that this is a partnership that's potter from Maisa Behema. But if it was a very, very even split, one gedi for me, one gedi for you, one tiyosh for me, one tiyosh for you, oimrim, then we say, that each person got what they were supposed to get, and it's for that reason the halacha is they're going to be chayiv for ma'aseh behema. And really, in this halacha, there's two chiddushim. One is a little bit of a chiddush, the other one is a tremendous chiddush. The first is that you see that Rav Anan held yesh breira. It's machlokes throughout Shas. Yesh breira or ein breira? As it relates to this context, yesh breira, that when the brothers sit and divide the Yerusha, we say that each brother is getting directly from his father. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. You could say that the father left over an estate. The two brothers had to work out amongst themselves who was going to get what. So when Reuven gets what he gets and when Shimon gets what he gets, obviously it's all coming from the late father. But at the same time, Reuven is taking from Shimon and Shimon is taking from Reuven. Because there's no way for us to determine for a fact that what Reuven got was the chelik that he was supposed to get, or what Shimon got was the chelik that he was supposed to get. Reuven and Shimon both had a schus in the entire estate. They sat down, they worked it out together. It's as if they bought it from each other, or they made some sort of arrangement with each other. If you hold yesh breira, then you could say huvra adavla mafreya, that Reuven got what he was supposed to get directly from his father. Shimon got what he was supposed to get directly from his father. If you would hold ein breira, there'd be no way to be mavar that. And as a result, you would say that even though it all came from the father, he's the source of this shefa. But at the same time, there's a yad sheni b'emtza. Reuven has to come on to Shimon and work it out with Shimon, so to speak, in order to be able to yashu what he's supposed to get from his father. The point is that if we look at each one of these brothers as if they're getting directly from their father without any intervention from the brother, that means they hold yesh breira. That's the first chiddush. The second chiddush is that Avivai, we hold yesh breira, and we look at each one as being a yairish, even though right now they divided it and became partners again. So you would think for sure that this is a partnership that should be parted from Ma'aseh Behema. Rav Anan said a chiddush that they're going to be chayiv in Ma'aseh Behema. And just to be clear, this is a much bigger chiddush than what we saw in the end of yesterday's daf and what we began this morning's daf with. Because till now we're saying that if your estate was never divided, it's still in the Tfisas Habayis, so then there's going to be a chiyuv Ma'aseh Behema. That's not such a chiddush, because this Tfisas Habayis was previously owned by the father. The father was a yachid. He was a sole proprietor. He was chayiv in Ma'aseh Behema. Now he died, the estate continues as if the father owned it, and memel, there's a chiyuv Ma'aseh Behema. In this case, they divided and became partners again. Why in the world should it not be a shutvis that's potter from Ma'aseh Behema? The teretz is that if you hold yesh breira, so each person is yashining directly from his father, so each person is an extension from the father, even though they became partners together now, we still look at them as yarshim to the point that we don't hear about this partnership, and the halach is they're going to be chayv in Ma'aseh Behema. Again, a tremendous chiddush that's beyond the scope of what we do. Either way, Rav Nachman argued. He said, "Afilu chalku gediim geneged gediim utiyashim geneged tiyashim eim roimim zeh chalku magiim yishar yishayin lukach." I disagree. Rav Nachman said, "And what's pashim shana Rav Nachman? It's going to be mivur in the Gemara." Rashi explains because Rav Nachman holds eim breira, and being that he holds eim breira, we don't look at achim shechalku as being yarshim. We look at them as being lekuchais. If they're lekuchais, so there's no way to say this chiddush that there's still an extension of the father, and we don't care that it was divided, and it was, then they became partners again. It's pashit, the halacha is that they're going to be part of a Ma'aseh Behema. Says the Gemara, this machlokes Rav Anan and Rav Nachman was stated by other Amiram, albeit in a slightly different way. Rabbi Lazar said a very similar chiddush to Rav Anan. He said, the only time it's true that the halacha is that if they divided it and became partners again, that they're parted from Ma'aseh Behema, that's again if it was an uneven Chaluka, how so? I take 9, you take 10. Avachalku tes keneged tes. For yud keneged yud. Oymim zeh chalka megim eshor yishayin lukach. Each one got what he was supposed to get. Again, two chidushim. Number one, yesh breira. And number two, even though they divided it and became partners again, it doesn't have the halach of a partnership that's part of Ma'aseh Behema. We look at it like the tfisas habayis. We look at it like the father who would have been chayv in Ma'aseh Behema, and they're going to be chayv in Ma'aseh Behema. Rabbi Yechanan says, no. Afilu chalku tes keneged yud. Tes keneged tes. Vasar keneged asar. Oymim zeh chalka megim eshor yishayin lukach. And this is also Rabbi Yochanan, who holds, like Rav Nachman did in the previous machloikis, that Eim Reira, so if you hold Eim Reira, then the Lekucha is, then there's no way to look at them as an extension of the father. Either way, at first glance, the Gemara would seem to bring two machloikis in Amayram. Number one, how to understand the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, Ha'achim Shechoku, and then they became partners again, they're going to be potter from Ma'aseh Behema, according to some Amiram, you have to read the fine print. It's not always going to be that way. It's only if it was an uneven chalukah. But if it was an even chalukah, gedi for a gedi, or 10 for 10, maybe in that case, they're going to be chayv in Ma'aseh Behema. Nachman Rabbi Yechon said, it doesn't matter how the chalukah was done. If a chalukah is a chalukah, is a chalukah. And Pashup Shat, the beer in the machloikis, is not the second thing we mentioned, not the superlumdis that would seem to be mavur from this gemara, whatever that superlumdis is, but it's rather the good old-fashioned machloikis, yesh breira, ein breira. If you hold yesh breira, so then you can say a chiddush that we look at the brothers even after they divided it and became partners again as if they're still a hemshach of the tvisas habayis, thus they're going to be chayv and ma'aseh behem. If you hold in prayer, the lekuchas, so there's no way in the world to say that. If that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan, who was one of the ones that said that it doesn't matter how they divided it, you're always going to be part of ma'aseh behem, which essentially means he holds in prayer, which in the context of a brothers yarshin in a state means that when the two brothers yarshin, we don't look at each brother as yarshin directly from their father, but they had to come on to each other to make this arrangement. Thus, we look at them as lekuchas from each other. So, this is Rabbi Yechon Lashitas. We had this Rabbi Yechon Shavuos night. Amr Rabbi Yechon and Achim Shachalku lekuchas hein umachzir lezel zebi yoivo. As he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that two brothers that divide an estate, and then Yovel comes. If the estate was a stay achuzo, we know if somebody sells a stay achuzo, Yovel comes, you unwind the transaction. The same thing would be true with Achim Shechalku. What's the pshat? I thought the aloch of stay achuzo is when you sell something. Here, two brothers Yarshin. The teretz is Ein Breira. So when two brothers Yarshin, they really are working it out amongst themselves. I'll take this and you take that. That's a mekach memkar between the brothers. Even though it's kami mikayach Yerusha, that's for sure. But to determine how to distribute the Yerusha, there was a mekach memkar. If there's a mekach memkar, it's now subject to the laws of selling steyachuza, and it's for that reason it's going to come back. But this is all Rabbi Yoichel l'shitasai, who holds Ein Breira, and in the context of Achen Shachalko, we look at them as lukuchas. The Gemara says v'tzrichi. Now, if it's Rabbi Yoichel l'shitasai, then we can ask a nice question. Why did Rabbi Yochanan have to say this halacha twice? Why did Rabbi Yochanan have to tell me Ein Breira, Achen Shachalko, Lukuchas Ein Biyadoi, in the context of someone who sells a steyachuza? And why did Rabbi Yochanan have to say the same halacha in the context of the Ptur Maisa Behema? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. The Yashminim Hacha, had we only had it over here in the sugya of Maisa Behema, I would have thought, Bahakam Rabbi Yochanan. Here Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha, we look at the Achen as being Lukuchas Dumi the Bincha. Because as we said earlier, the laws of Maisa Behema compared to the halacha's opinion are ben. That's the makar that if somebody buys an animal, he's part of a ma'aseh behema. So you would think, ma bincha bebarulach, avsharcha betzaincha bebarulach. I would say that it has to be dumi the bincha. Just like bincha is 100% bar, so too, shar and tzain is 100% bar as well. Avasad, necher hud amir achmana lahadu beyoevel Yerusha. I mean, you could have argued that it's not pshat Rabbi Yochanan holds that Achen Shechoku is mamish a mecher. It's not mamish a mecher. You want to know in the sugyas of steyachuza where the Torah says that if you're going to sell a steyachuza, goes back b'yoyvel, Achen Shechoku, nobody sold anything. These are two brothers that worked out with lawyers who's supposed to yarshin what. That's not called mekach a memkar in the context of steyachuza. Maybe it's only in the sugya ma'isa behema that he looks at it that way, because ma'isa behema, the Torah never said mecher. Ma'isa behema, the definition of am I a lekeach or am I not a lekeach is totally in dumi de bincha. So that's a very high standard. Bincha is 100% barer. This is not 100% barer. Here you had to work it out. And being that you had to work it out, maybe it's considered mekach memkar in the context of ma'aseh behema relative to pidyon haben. But as it relates to steyachuza, where the Torah says the laws of steyachuza are subject to someone that sells a steyachuza, maybe it's not considered. Maybe Mishmir and Sada, and had it only said by Sada, I mean, once I know that Achen Shechoku is considered mekach memkar with regards to steyachuza, then kavul chomer by ma'aseh behema. The Gemara says no, because you can argue that maybe over there it's l'chumra. L'chumra, we say that the steyachuza goes back. In other words, maybe Rabbi Yochanan wasn't sure what the halacha is regarding Achen Shechoku. He was mesopek. Do we look at them as Yarshim directly from their father? Or did they have to work it out amongst themselves? Thus, we look at them as Lekuchais. I mean that he had a suffix. So he said, with regards to Steyachuza, go Lechumra and give it back. Which, by the way, if it's a suffix, why would you give it back? Hamoitza Mechaberi Olav Araya. And Fira is the Gemara. The Oisfir would be, and in our Sugya, you would also go Lechumra, and as a result, you would have to maybe give them Ais to Behema. Just the opposite, right? If it's a suffix, shouldn't you say, I'm Moitzu Mechaveri Olav Arai? So this is really totally in raid that we touched on last week, which is certain areas in halacha, you have to decide whether we look at them as being at their core Dine Mominus, or we look at them as being in their core Issa V'Heter. If it's Issa V'Heter, then you could say, Sveika Dei Raisa L'Chumra, like in these cases. Suffik Maisa Behem, you have to give it. It's a Suffik Dei Raisa L'Chumra. Suffik Steyachuza Bin Chayza B'Yoyvel, it's a Shaila and Issa V'Heter. But if you look at a Suffik Mammon, there's a Mammon component as well. Suffik Mammon, you would say the opposite. You'd say, I'm Maisa Behem, all of it right. But the bottom line is the Gemara is assuming that both Suffik Maisa Behem and Suffik Steyachuza, you'd go L'Chumra, not you'd say muchsek hamoitzim mechaveri al veraya, but you go lechumras. So therefore, you can always say the Rabbi Yochanan only said is halacha lechumra. So lechumra, we look at Achen Shechalku as being lekuchos. You give it back, but maybe also lechumra, you would look at them as not being lekuchos, and as a result, in our sugya ma'aseh behema, they would be chayiv ma'aseh behema. Nami. Alternatively, you could say likat tchila. Maybe there's a svar that steyachuza should be different, because the whole concept, the spirit of the law of steyachuza, is that the original chalukah of Yeshua ben Nun and Elazar Kohen Gadol during the Zayin Shekavshu and the Zayin Shechalku is really the way we want Eretz Yisrael to be set up for eternity. So as a result, there's a maila of it going back, even by Achen Shechalku, because we want it to go not likat tchila, in contrast to b'di'evit, but likat tchila zakrashi, that we want it to be chayzeres karka l'tchilas ha'shayisa b'yachad. Let it go back to the original boundaries, to the way that things were. But over here in the context of ma'aseh behema, you don't have such a svar. That's why we need Rabbi Yochanan's case to say it in both halachos. Meisvei v'reitim, I'll ask you a kasha. V'chein ashut v'nshachalku, partners that divided their animals. Echa not l'asara. One took 10 sheep, or 10 animals that are chayv and ma'aseh behema. V'echad not al tisha v'kelev. The other one took 9 plus the dog. So the halacha is like this. Shekineged al kelev asur. The one that took the 10 is asur.
can't bring any of his 10 as a carbon. And the reason is because we look at each one as a mechir kelev. The halacha is that if you swap an animal for a dog, you can't put that animal now on the mizbech. It's mentioned in the context of Esnan. We'll see in the next Gemara that it's actually hukash to the halacha of Esnan. But really doesn't do it Esnan Zayna, although I am Birishayim. But the point is that mechir kelev pashat, there's something about the kelev, and if somebody would switch an animal for a kelev, right, we mentioned the kelev is more mezana than other animals. An almana is not allowed to live together with a kelev, a gemara, mesachtes bav mitzia. We mentioned a classic meshachachma a few weeks ago. But the point is, negeil in yoneinu, that if I have 10 animals and you have 9 and a dog, and this is the way the brother, or the partners made their chalukah, so the one that's keneged the dog can't bring any of his animals as a carbon, because each one there's a suffix. It may be the Mechir Kalef. And as a result, you can't bring it. What's the Gemara's Kasha? But the one, the one that has the 9 together with the dog, his 9 are okay. Because his 9 don't correspond to the dog. It's the other person's 10 that correspond to the dog. But the Kasha is that, if you hold the Yeshbreiro, why are all 10 aser? Why don't you say, one matches up Kenega the dog, and the other one's a mutter. So this seems to be a kasha on the man number that holds Ein Breira. I mean, if we're gonna go down the road of asking kashas, Yesh Breira, Ein Breira, there's a lot of kashas we could ask. The sugya of Breira is a sugya arucha throughout Shas. But here the Gemara is picking this one. This is the most closely related to our sugya, again, beyond the scope of what we're doing, but just to have a chesed of what's going on. The Gemara is asking a kasha. Really? You hold Yesh Breira? If you hold Yesh Breira, so what's the big deal? Why are all 10 aser? Just take one animal, match it up to the dog, that's the Mechir Kalef, let the other 9 be mutter to be brought as karbanos. Amar Rabashi answered, either shavi kulu ladadi hachanami, if they were equal value, meaning each one of these sheep and the dog all had the same value. Okay, so this is $100, this is $100, they cancel each other out. That one that's connected to the dog can't be brought. Yesh breira, the other 9 can't be brought. We're talking about the lay shavi kulu ladadi, but they weren't all equal the same. But rather, what it was v'shavi hai kalba chad umashu, v'hai mashu mashich v'asi v'kul. The dog was worth a little bit more than the other sheep. And what happened was the way it matched up was that each one of the sheep's value had to equal up to make up for the dog, in order for it to correspond to equal value. But the point is, it wasn't shayach to isolate the dog and one of the sheep and say, this chalukah went connected to this, because there was no sheep that was worth exactly what the dog was. So the only way, you need an envelope and a pen to work this out, but the only way to make this work was if you matched up all the sheep connected to the dog. As a result, each one of the sheep has a din of a mechir kelev vayter. All animals are kosher to be brought into a pen to do the halacha of ma'aseh behema, stating that. So we start off with a very general statement. Hakol, hakol l'rabbis, hakol l'asuyeh. But there are 5 exceptions. Chutz min hakalayim, an animal that's an offspring of 2 different species. It's kalayim. V'treifa. V'yotze doifin. It was born cesarean. Umechusr's man, it's not 8 days old yet, the hayasim. Is that yasim? What's the definition of a yasim? Kol shemese ima, oynishchet v'achayolba. Which simply means that the mother of this animal died during childbirth. Rabbi Shua says, afilo nishchet v'ima, v'ashelach kayim means a yasim. In the event that the animal died during childbirth, but they then shechted the animal, and the hide, the skin of the mother is kayim, that would be enough for this child not to be deemed the yasim. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Zok to Gemara. So the Mishnah said, "Akol nichnasim l'dir le'zaser." All animals are okay to be brought into the deer for ma'isa behema. Stating that there were 5 exceptions: kalayim, treifa, yoytze doifin, mechusir's man, and yasim. Zok to Gemara. How do you know this? Tana rabbanon and shor oy kesef. And this is a general pasuk that talks about korbanos. Shor oy kesef ayeski yivoled v'ayishivas yomim tachasimoy u'meyemashmini v'halo yeirotzel the korban ishal Hashem. So this is a basic halacha with regards to korbanos. Shor oy kesef, probably kalayim. It has to be either a shor or a kesef. It can't be kalayim. It can't be a hybrid of both. Oy eis probably nidma. A nidma is where the parents are of the same species, but the child somehow came out looking like from another species, as the Gemara discussed in great detail in the beginning of the Masechta. Ki yivoled, it has to be a natural birth. Probably yotze doifen. V'ho yeshivas yomim, probably mechusas man. Tachas imoy,
Prat liyasa has to have a mother. Zok the Gemara. Rishon b'nei Shabbi Yechem b'breika oimer. Nema kan tachas shiv. V'nema lahalon tachas imoy. It says v'chom masa b'kov v'tzin kolasha yaver tachas shov in the context of ma'isa behemo. And it says in regards to that general pasuk about kachim. Sharei kesa b'yeski yivoli v'yeshiv es yomim tachas imoy. So therefore we learn ma lahalon prat l'chol hashem es alalu. Just like with regards to general kachim. These are all excluded. Afkan prat l'chol hashem es alalu. So too with regards to ma'isa behemo. These are all going to be excluded as well. Now you can ask me a question. Why do I need a separate gzeira shava to be memayit these things from ma'isa behema? Isn't ma'isa behema a carbon? So the answer is yeah, but I still need a pasuk to tell me that they're not even nichnas ladir, that they don't even count. I mean, you can't even bring them in. So for example, a bamum can't be brought as a carbon, but at the same time, bamum counts as one of the 10. And even if it's the 10th, we just treat it differently. We don't bring it as a carbon. It's treated as a ma'isa behema mum. But the bottom line is that the chiddush of the gzeira shava is that they're so excluded from ma'isa behema that not only can't they be brought as a carbon, which l'chura you wouldn't need the gzeira shava for, but they don't even count in the minyan, or they don't even count in the minyan. Yeah, zok de gemara. Another thing that we learn from this gzeira shava, makan prat l'treifa, af lahalom prat l'treifa. So the halacha is that a treifa can't be brought as a carbon. What's the makar? Ironically, the makar is ma'isa behema. How do you see the ma'isa behema? Because it says kol hashayavar tachas hashavet, and we learn from there that it has to be able to pass under the shevet. Rashi says that one of the yud ches treifos that I mentioned, the mesachtes chulin, is behema shenechtechu ragla menarkuva lomaylo. That's an animal that can't be yavar tachas hashavet. Thus, being that we see that there's a miut of treifa in the context of Ma'isa Behemo, the same Zeir Shava, Tachas Tachas, is going to teach me that that's going to be true with regards to regular kachim as well. So the Mishnah said, Hakol nichnasim lidir l'zasu. Then it mentioned five exceptions. But it said Hakol. Hakol is always lasuya. It's coming to be marba something. Hakol lasuya. Ma'i zokim lasuya. Had the Tanu Rabbanon. In fact, a very big chiddush. Aroiva v'hanirva. V'hamukta, v'hanevad, v'ha'esnan, v'hamechir, v'tumtum, v'adroiginus, kulum nechnasan adir l'sasas. What are these things? A roiva v'anirva, that's an animal that engages in bestiality, right? It engages in arayos. Mukta means it was set aside for avodah zara. Nevad, it was actually used for avodah zara. Esnan, it was a gift to a zoyna for znos. Mechir, it was swapped for a dog. Tumtum and Adragonus, we spoke about that a few recently. All of the aforementioned do not go into the deer with regards to Ma'isa Behema. And that's Zokta Gemara. I mean, Kula Nichnasin Ledir Lazasa. They do go in. Reb Shimon, Yehuda, Ibn Shimon, Reb Shimon, Tumtum and Adragonus, Ein Nichnasin Ledir Lazasa. Shimon, Yehuda said, Reb Shimon, I disagree with two. Tumtum and Adragonus. But either way, this is a very big chiddush. Because the Rav and the Nirvim, and the Muksan and the Neva, and the Esan and the Mechir, these are all animals that are not kosher to be brought as a carbon. So why they nichtes l'dir l'zas? Didn't we just say tachas tachas? So it's tako chiddush, and it's learned out from the word hakel. But the Gemara asks, v'tana d'ta'i gomer tachas, tachas mikachim. I don't understand how do you understand the Mishnah. If he holds it gzeira shava, then l'chari hani nami loy. Then why are these things not excluded from the gzeira shava? V'lo yal, if he doesn't hold the gzeira shava, hani minole. Then why are these included? Right? In other words, I hear the way we're explaining the Mishnah, says the Gemara, but what's pshat? What's pshat? We might five things because these five things are all possible to be brought as a carbon. And then we marba five other things or so that are also possible to be brought as a carbon. So manavshach, if we're saying that nothing that could be brought, that anything that's possible to be brought as a carbon is excluded from Ma'isa Behema, then everything should be excluded. Even the Reuven, the Nirv, and the Muktzah, and the Neva. And if you don't hold of such a limud, then why is the Kalayim and the Treif and the Yoytzeh Daifin excluded? Zakhtumar L'Olam God really holds it exerish. Hani Rachman Rabbeinu. The following were all included from the following drasha. The Chsiv, because the Pasuk says, Ki mashchasam bohen, mum bam le'yirasa l'chem. The context of that Pasuk is a regular balmum. So the halach is that a balmum can't be brought as a carbon. And the Torah says, Ki mashchasam bohen, mum bam le'yirasa. The Torah uses the word mashchasam. That's a very important word. Why? Because V'tanu be Rabbi Yishmael, Kamak v'shinim abay ashchasa, Eni el advarev avayda zara. Whenever you find the word ashchasa, it means two things. It means arayos, and it means avayda zvarev. The Chsiv, Ki hishchas kol basas ta'arki al ha'aretz. What does it say there in Parshas Noach? With regards to the Dair HaMabel, they were shtufei zima. They were nichshal and gili arayos. And it says kihishcha. So you see from there, hashchasa means arayos. Avay dezar, the chesed paint hashchiz vasizu lechem pesel tmunus kol semel tabnu zochra in a keva. A mefurish apasik that you find the word hashchasa in the context of avay dezar. Okay. So mashchasam usually means
Dvar Erva and Avodah Zara. Says the Gemara, we learn from here, Chol Shambum Paisalboy, Dvar Erva, Avodah Zara Paisalboy. V'chol She'inabum Paisalboy, Ein Dvar Erva, Avodah Zara Paisalboy. You know why the Torah used the word Mashchasim in the context of Mun? To tell me that wherever Mum is possible, Dvar Erva and Avodah Zara is going to be possible. If Mum is not possible, then Dvar Erva and Avodah Zara is not going to be possible. That's why the Torah used the word Mashchasim, not to teach me anything about Mum, but to teach me a halacha regarding any psul that's Arayos related or Avodah Zara related. That if it's something that Mum is lo yeiratzu, then Mashchasim is also lo yeiratzu. But if something that the Mum is okay, so you can ask me, where in the world is a Baal Mum kosher? Oh, v'hai meiser, ha'yavalei pasal bei Mumma. Even though, if the 10th one is a Baal Mum, again, you can't bring it as a carbon, but it's not possible from being included in the minyan of Ma'aseh Behemah. D'chsev lo yivakim etayv lo rava lo yamiredu. Is dvar erva v'avoy d'zor, and nami lo yipossel bay. So those things are also not included. And now the Gemara does the math for us. Is raiva v'nerva dvar erva. Muktzah v'neva rabbi d'zora. Esnan dvar erva. Umechir iskash l'eskan. Oh, so it's very good why all those things are included. What about tumtum v'adraginis? Kasov asveikohu. He holds it's a safik. And if it's a safik, so there's no reason that it should be excluded. Why? Because either it's a zachar or it's in a cave. If it's a zachar, it can be included in ma'aseh behemah. If it's in a cave, it's also included in ma'aseh behemah. There's no halacha between zachar and a cave. When it comes to ma'aseh behemah, the gender doesn't matter. So the difference doesn't make if it's a zachar nekeva. Rishon ben Yehuda, Oimer b'shem b'shem v'ichoy, he argued with Tumtav Adroigis. He said that not nichnas l'dir l'sasir. What he hold? Kosovar sveikohu, mi'it rachmona gabi kachem zachar v'aday, v'nekeva v'ados. It has to be a zachar v'aday or nekeva v'ados, v'loi Tumtav Adroigis. Rashi adds language. Last line. V'rab Shimon sovar, bury you b'fnei atzmi. Because Rav Shimon holds that you don't look at it as a tumtum and a joyganus as sophic. It sounds like he's saying it by tumtum as well. But beriyah b'fnei atzmai, being that it's a beriyah b'fnei atzmai, so it's for that reason, it's not zocher, it's not nekeva. Tanakama holds, it's sophic, zocher, sock, and nekeva. Rav Shimon holds, beriyah b'fnei atzmai, ve'inkam mekoymoy laharech, zok de gemara. Oh, one second. And therefore, being that he holds beriyah b'fnei atzmai, and he holds it's excluded from being a kosher of carbon, is ma'isenami gomer tachas tachas, right? You need another step. Meaning, the miut of Beriyah b'fnei atzmai is not a miut in the parasha Ma'aseh Behemah. It's a miut in kachim in general. Once I know that kachim can't be a Beriyah b'fnei atzmai, it has to be oy zachar oy nekeva, then from tachas tachas I know the same is going to be true for Ma'aseh Behemah. Tanu rabban me'inyan le'inyan akol nichnasan le'dir l'saser chutz min akelayim v'atreifa. So it's very similar to our Mishnah. What our Mishnah say? Hakol nichnasan le'dir l'saser chutz min akelayim v'atreifa, and added three more. V'yotze doifin. The Tanakhama here says, Hakol nichnasim ledir l'saser chutz min akelayim v'atreifa. The first two of the five mentioned. It's the same hakol, hakol l'rabbis, and then two of the five exceptions. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Yehuda ish kfar bar susa she'oma mishum Rabbi Yeshua. Om Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva told him, Anisha mati amen. I also heard from Rabbi Yeshua, but I had a different list. You know what I heard? Afet yoytze doifin u'mechusr zman v'yasim. Which means that our Stam Mishnah is really following Rabbi Akiva's version of Rabbi Yeshua. Meaning, Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Yehuda, Ishkvar, Bar Susa, said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, Hakol Nechlas, he had two exceptions. The first two of the five, Rabbi Akiva said, I had all five. So what's Pshat in this first Shita? So we have to figure it out. I mean, it was hard enough to figure out the Shita of our Mishnah. He does hold it Gzei Rishava. He doesn't hold it Gzei Rishava. So the Gemara worked it out. But now we have to figure out this new Shita. If he holds it Gzei Rishava, Haninami Lo, he should hold of the other three exceptions as well. Why is he only Mema'it Kalayim Etreifa? He should also Mema'it Yetzidev Mechus Hezman and Yasa, because they're all excluded from being karbonos, and Tachas Tachas says they shouldn't be nichnas l'dir l'sasav. Iloi gomar. And if he doesn't hold the gzeira shava, then why is kalayim and treifa nismayin? And the Gemara says, bishli matreifa, that you don't have to come on to the gzeira shava for. Just the opposite. The fact that treifa is nismayin by all kachim is gufa learned out from Ma'aseh Behemah. Kol ha'shiyah tachas ha'shevet k'sev, probably treifa. She'in ha'vetz, el kalayim, but as it relates to kalayim, minole, kalayim, it doesn't say anywhere in the parasha Ma'aseh Behemah is excluded. It must be that it's learned out from kachim, tachas, tachas. So if it's learned out from kachim, so why isn't it excluded? So that's essentially the Gemara's question. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehuda, Ishkvar, Bar Susa, Shomer, Bishum, Rabbi Yeshua seems to hold that a behemoth that's kalayim is nichnas ledir le'saser. It's clear he holds it gzeir shava chura, tachas, tachas. And being that kalayim is possible to be brought as a carbon, it should not be nichnas ledir le'saser with regards to ma'isa behemoth. So the Gemara says, la'olam gomar. You have to say that really holds it gzeir shava. Ubi yoitze doifin, as it relates to yoitze doifin, zokta gemara savela, kerab shimin, da omar, yoitze doifin, flat malyu. Really holds it exerisha. I mean that he holds it exerishava, that's why he's memayit, kalayim, it's because it exerishava. Trefa, that's pasha, why it's excluded. If he holds it exerishava, the question is, right, it's a mamon of shach question. If he doesn't hold it exerishava, then why is kalayim nismayit? If he does hold it exerishava, why is yoitze doifin, mechusiz man and yasim not excluded? So as it relates to yoitze doifin, he holds yoitze doifin can be brought as a carbon. I thought it can't be brought as a carbon. Not everybody holds that way. Some like Reb Shimon, nama yoitze doifin vlad ma'alyu, would like Reb Yochanan, who's the one who darshan and said that yoitze doifin can't be brought as a carbon. But mechusiz man, what about mechusiz man? Some like Reb Shimon ben Yehuda. He holds like Shimon ben Yehuda. We saw that in yesterday's daf, that said a mechusiz man is also nichnas l'dir l'saser. Or a mechusiz man could have, and it's based on the fact that you see it has kedusha. It could be nichnas l'dir simply because we're not bringing it as a carbon. Now we're just giving it its kedusha. A bechor is born with kedusha, even though it's mechusiz man. Yasim, what about Yasim? Lechaira, if he holds of the gzeir shava, why is Yasim not excluded? It's talking about with a shelach, the skin of the mother was still kayim. And for Rabbi Yeshua l'tamei, it's Rabbi Yeshua l'shitasai who said at the end of the Mishnah, "Filu shachet asimai v'ashelach kai means a yasim." That if you have the skin of the mother, then the halacha is that the animal is not going to be considered a yasim. And chanami, he really didn't say that yasim is not a miyot in ma'ase v'hema. He could have said chutz mina yasim. The reason he did it was because it's not always an exclusion. There are times, yeah, there are times not. If it's shelach kayim, in that case, it would not be excluded. Says the Gemara. What's the reason? What's the reason that shelach kayim makes a difference? Meaning, what's pashup shot? So the Gemara addresses that with a story. Hey, Rabbi Shmuel ben Sisriel me Arkas Levena. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Sisriel, who was from Arkas Levena, testified lefnei Rabbi. He told him as follows: from Koimenu, where we live, in our shtetl, mafshiten es hamesa, umalbichen es achai. If a mother dies during childbirth, so what they do is they take the skin off the mother and they put it on the child. And it's considered good for the child. Meaning, so this child shouldn't have to be raised without a mother. It's going to somehow feel the warmth of the mother by having the skin of the mother on it. And that's considered to be a very good thing for this child. Rebbe. So Rebbe said, Neskala time Mishnah Mishnah Seinu. Oh, now I know Pshat in the Mishnah. Rebbe Yeshua said in the Mishnah that if a mother dies during childbirth, but the Shelach is Kayim, the child's on a Yasin. What's Pashup Shat? He said, oh, this must be Pashup Shat. It's probably because what they do is they take the skin, they wrap the child with it. That somehow allows this child to be raised as if it has a mother. And apparently the yisoid of yasim is not the fact that it physically doesn't have a mother, but it's somehow related to the way it's going to develop. But in this case, it's going to develop thinking that it has a mother. It's for that reason it's not considered a yasim. Zokta Gemara, on the note of Rabbi Shmuel ben Sisriel's Idus, that he testified in front of Rebbe, he said other things that have nothing to do with the sugi that we're learning. Number one, chazirin, not a chazer, but rather Miloshin Chazeres, as in lettuce. Shem Koimenu, in our place, the Eshbem Shishin Ribay Klofen, they have 600,000 folds, the base Hemses Shaloi, in the equivalent of their stomach. Whatever exactly that means. Pam Achas Nofal Eres Echod Shem Koimenu. He said something else. He said the cedar trees in our land are so big that one time a cedar tree fell, and it was so big, V'abru Sheish Esrei Kroinois, 16 wagons were able to pass, Al Chudoi, literally on the spitz, on the tip, of this cedar tree. That's how wide the cedar tree was. Another thing he said was, Pam machas nafal beis bar yoichni. There's a certain very, very big oif. It's called the bar yoichni. And it once dropped an egg. Vitiva, and it made such a bang, and it created such an earthquake, that shishim krochem, 60 cities drowned, the shibur sholish meis arazim, and 300 cedar trees broke. Great thing, Gemara mishadile. So the Gemara has an issue with the last thing. It says, is that true, the Bar Yochani? Is this the way it behaves? It just recklessly drops its eggs and wreaks this kind of destruction? Voxiv, the pasuk says, knaf renonim nelosa. And Rashi says that this is that the beer in the Gemara is really referring to a Gemara mesechtes menachos, where the Gemara says, nelosa is miloshen utrikin. Noise carries its offspring, oila veneschata. The point is that it's very soft with its eggs and with its children. Here it's mashma that it once dropped it, and so the Gemara says, "Amravashi ehu muzar tavi." This egg was an egg that was a spoiled egg. It was never going to develop into a child, so the Bar Yochani didn't care, and that's how this was able to happen. There are three important dates
on the fiscal calendar as it relates to Maisa Behemah. Three dates that you have to circle. What are these three dates? A huge machlekes. And what's the significance of these dates? We'll have to wait till the end of the Mishnah. Shalish Kronis, the Maisa Behemah, before Pesach, 15 days before Pesach. In other words, either the last day of Chodesh Adar or Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we'll see more about that. Uber Freisach Atzeres, 15 days before Shavuos. Uber Freisach Chag, 15 days before Sukkot. Devi Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azay says, meaning according to Rabbi Akiva, think in terms of Yontif. It's 15 days before Pesach, 15 days before Shavuos, 15 days before Sukkot. Okay. Ben Azay says, no. Be'esher v'tish of Adar. The first one is the 29th day of Adar, which is certainly similar to 15 days before Pesach. Be'echad b'sivan. Chodesh Sivan, that's certainly not 15 days, right? It's about a week earlier. Ube'esrim v'tisha v'av, and the 29th day of Av. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, they're a third sheetah. Be'echad b'nisan, be'echad b'sivan, ube'esrim v'tisha v'elov. Lama, ube'esrim v'tisha v'elov. So the 29th day of Elov seems a little interesting. Meaning, if it's echad b'nisan, then shouldn't it be be'echad b'tishrei? That would be consistent, right? It's the same amount of time, albeit from a different yontif. So why is it Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Rosh Chodesh Sivan? Oh, and the last day of Elul. Because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is not yontif. Rosh Chodesh Sivan is not yontif. There's one yontif that falls down on Rosh Chodesh, and that's Rosh Hashanah. And being that it's yontif, you can't give Ma'aseh Behemah then. That's what they wanted it to be one day earlier. Rameh says, Rosh Hashanah Ma'aseh Behemah, another halacha that Ma'aseh Behemah has a Rosh Hashanah. And when's the Rosh Hashanah? That's the Rosh Hashanah. In addition to all the other significance of Elul, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, in addition to everything else, you also have the significance that it's Rosh Hashanah L'maisa Behemah. So what does Rosh Hashanah L'maisa Behemah mean? It means that we said that Asa Ta'asa, Shana B'Shana. Asa Ta'asa is even Ma'aseh Behemah, Shana B'Shana. You can't be Ma'aser Mishana L'chavirta. So if an animal was born this year, you can't be mitzarefit for the minion of Asir Yekodesh with an animal that was born in a different year, right? It has to be consistent. You have to be all in the same year. So what's the cutoff point? What's the new year? How do you define a year as it relates to it? So that's the first mission, Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Exactly, the mission over there gives a different date. We'll see about this tomorrow. Stuff. But for now, we have Ramei Yeshita in our Mishnah, who says, Rosh Chodesh Elul is Rosh Hashanah, L'maisa Behemah. Ben Azay says, Ha'elulim, as it relates to Eluls, Mis'asr Mifneyatzim, meaning all the animals that were born during Chodesh Elul, they take on a life of their own. They're buried with Neatzman, so to speak, as it relates to Maisa Behemah. And as a result, you have to be Maasa them by themselves. You can't be Mitzdarif them with animals that were born in any other month of the year. Again, a lot more about that tomorrow. Zok the Mishnah. Kol hanoi lodim me'echad betishrei ad esrim betishrei ve'elol harei mitzdarifim. A third sheet. Any animal that was born from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei until the 29th day of Elul are mitzdarif. Chamisha lefnei Rosh Hashanah, chamisha l'achar Rosh Hashanah, ain't mitzdarifim. Meaning if five would be born before Rosh Hashanah, five would be born after Rosh Hashanah, you wouldn't be able to be mitzdarif. What about with regards to the Goyrin? Meaning the Mishnah, like we'll see again a lot more about this Mishnah in the Gemara. Everything will make a lot more sense. But for now, there seem to be two milestones as relates to dates related to Ma'aseh Behemah. The Mishnah started with the Shalish Gronos. There's three Gronos. We don't know what Gronos means yet. But we started off with three Gronos. What are the 3 days? Rabbi Kiva, Ben Azai, there's different shitas. And then we said there's also something called Rosh Hashanah. So we explain what Rosh Hashanah means. Rosh Hashanah means Chamisha Lefnei Rosh Hashanah, Chamisha Lacha Rosh Hashanah, Amen Star. And the Mishnah just explained it. So what about with regards to the Goyrin? Is there a halacha that if this animal was born before the Goyrin, this animal was born after the Goyrin, whichever one of the Goyronos we're discussing, you have the same halacha? That the Mishnah says no. Chamisha Lefnei Goyrin, Chamisha Lacha Goyrin, Harei Elu Mitzdarf. No, it is Mitzdarf. Im Kein begs the question, finally, Loma Nemru Shalish Gronos, the nice of him. So what is the significance of Gronos? You would think it's maybe the Rosh Hashanah, but it's not Rosh Hashanah. We just said there's a different Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Chodesh Elul, Elulin. So what is it? If it's not the Rosh Hashanah, then what is it? The Mishnah actually gives a goyrim butalim kavlishchay. Until this man of the goyrim, any animal that was born, you can do whatever you want with it. Once the goyrim comes, well yishchay you now let a shech mimshacha potter. It's not tevel, so it's not like if you shecht it, you're going to be person be chayv misa like you would if you ate tevel. But at the same time, there's a concept of tevel midurabanan as it relates to Ma'aseh Behemah. And that's what these gronos were all about. So if you had an animal that was born, you could do whatever you want with it. You could sell it, right? The person that buys it is potter from Ma'aseh Behemah. But at the same time, once the zman of the goyrin comes, at that point you view it sort of as tevel. And if it's viewed as tevel, you have no right to go ahead and sell it, you can't shecht it, you can't do anything with it. You have to then be mafrish Ma'aseh Behemah, and then afterwards, you could do with it whatever you want to do with it, exhale. So before
we conclude this morning's daf, two ha'aras. The first is a little bit of a digression, and the second one is very much related to Maisa Behema, although also a little bit of a digression. And that is, so we had the idea on Amud Aleph, where the Gemara said that when it comes to Maisa Behema, even though Kalayim and Shreifa and Yotze Doifin, Luchus Hazman and Yosef are all not Nichnas L'dir L'Sasser, and the reason is because being that they're all Pasul L'Hakrova, Tachas Mikotchen teaches me that they're also not Nichnas L'dir L'Sasser. Stating that, there is a whole list of Psulei HaMikdashim that are Nichnas L'dir L'Sasser. HaRoi V'Van Nirva, V'HaMukta V'HaNevad V'HaEslan V'HaMechir, Kulam Nichnas L'dir L'Sasser. And the Gemara explained, being that it says, the Torah talks about the psalmum, the Torah uses the word hashchasa. It teaches me a gewaldige chiddush that anything that's called hashchasa is interrelated with the psalmum. What's called hashchasa? Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos. And as a result, we learn from here that any Avodah Zarah diga psal or Gilui Arayos diga psal is only going to be possible where Balmum is going to be possible. By Maisa Behema, there's a chiddush that a Behema that's a Balmum is Nichnas Ladir Lehisaser. If it's a tenth one, you can't put it on the Mizbech, but it's Nichnas Ladir Lehisaser. So if it's Nichnas Ladir Lehisaser, so too, anything that's possible mishum avodah zarah, such as mukta neva, or anything that's possible mishum gilui arayos, such as a roiva vanirva va'esnam va'mechir, they're all going to be included as well, or at least not excluded. Thus, the halacha is going to be nichnas l'dir l'sasser. But it's based on really two ideas. It says ki mashchasam b'hem bumbam la'yiratzu l'chem. That's a kachem big halacha, that the psul of arayos and avodah zarah is related to the psul mum, but really more so that wherever it says the word hashchasa, eino yelo dvar erva va'avodah zarah. So anytime it says hashchasa, it's dvar erva avodah zarah. We spoke about this in the daf at length in the beginning of Masechtas Chulin, and in the sugya of mummer, and we mentioned then a gemara Masechtas Kedushin daf lamed vav amud aleph, the aim base medrash without two classic meshachachmas. So the Gemara over there, Masechtas Kedushin, mentioned a well-known machlekes between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. It's Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. Rabbi Yehuda says, Bizman she'atem noyag minig bonim, atem kriyim bonim. Ein atem noyag minig bonim, ein atem kriyim bonim. Rabbi Yehuda. It says Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. That's true. But it's not something that's necessarily unconditional. If you act like bonim, you'll be called Banim. If you don't act like Banim, ain't atim kriya Banim. Rabbi says, Benkachu Benkach kriya Banim. It doesn't matter how the Yidden behave. Whether you do or you don't, Benkachu Benkach kriya Banim. Shenemar. How do I know that? It says Rabbi four psukim. It says, Banim sacholim heima. That's one pasuk. It says, Banim loy emon ban. That's a second pasuk. It also says, Zera mireyim banim ashchisim. And it says a fourth pasuk, that was Shabbat says after Torah. So there's four psukim where the Torah says that even if you do an Avera, you still consider one. It says, what do you need four psukim for? Ramey needed four psukim, and one pasuk, two psukim, three. Why do you need four psukim to make this point that Benkachu Benkach Nikru Banim? Says the Gemara, because I only had the first pasuk that said, Banim Sicholim Hema. Sacholim is Miloshin, they're silly. I would have thought, yeah, that if a person doesn't have Avera, he's still called a Ben, but Sacholi hu de Mikri Bni. But he lesbu heim no sai la Mikri Bni. Meaning, if they're Sacholim, they're considered Bonim. But maybe if they're mamish terrible, maybe they're not called Bonim. Toshma, v'oimir Bonim le imun Bon. Even if they can't be trusted, even if they're not Neman, they're not just Sacholim, not just acting silly. But the loy emun bam, they mamish can't be trusted. It doesn't matter. Still, the halacha is that they're still going to be considered. But chitem yul tami kilas b'em nusu with the mikri banim. So why do you need a third pasuk for? Because I only had a second pasuk. I say, okay, if they're fools, they have nichlas b'em ruach shtos, they're banim. Loy emun bam, they're called banim. But if the oved avi dezara, in that case, there's no way they're called banim. Toshma. It says Zera Mireyim, Bonu Mashchisim. And what do you see from there? Zok Rashi, Dahainu Avodah Zarah. And we know that wherever it says Ashchas, that means Avodah Zarah. That means Zera Mireyim, Bonu Mashchisim teaches me that even when they're Mashchisim, even when they're Oivdei Avodah Zarah, still they're considered Bonu. Chitim, you'll tell me Bonu Mashchisim with a Mikri. Okay. So maybe if a Yid is Oivdei Avodah Zarah, according to Rav Meir, Benkachu Benkach Nikri, he's still considered a Ben. But he's called Bonu Mashchisim.
He gets a last name, right? There's a surname. You're a Ben with a little asterisk. Banim Ashchisen. That's why he needed a fourth pasuk to teach me that he's not only called Banim Ashchisen, but rather he's called Bnei Ma'alya. You know how he knew that? Because it says, that not only are you going to be considered a Ben, and this is talking about Banim that were Chaitim, and they're going to be called Bnei Kel Chai. In terms of them being Ben, they're on the same Ramah, the same level as a regular person who's doing what he's supposed to do. No, it's machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rameir. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Bezman she'atim noyeg minig banim, atim kriyim banim. Ein atim noyeg minig banim, ein atim kriyim banim." Rameir says, "No, benkach hu benkach atim kriyim banim. You always consider banim. How does he know that four psukim? And what did he see? What developed from the four psukim that it doesn't matter how bad a matziv the yid is in. It doesn't matter how far into shal tachtas he reaches. Even if he comes to literally the shpitz. What's the shpitz?" He's an Oved Avodah Zarah. He's still going to be considered a Ben. And not only is he going to be considered a Ben, but he's going to be Bnei Kel Chai. He's going to be considered a Ben, literally on the highest level. Now, from the beginning of Masechta Schulim, we mentioned the Tshuvas HaRashba. The Rashba says that even though whenever there's a Machlik is remain Rabbi Yehuda, it's a Gemara Masechta Erevin Nachman Bar. We hear the Halachas like Rameir, said the Rashba. How do I know that? Because the Gemara was very Mayrachim Rameir, four Psukim, and a whole beer, why we need all four Psukim, Kamash Malon, that the Halach over here must be like Rameir. That here we paskin that ben kachu ben chan kruyim bottom. Am I nafkemina? Where does it play itself out in halacha? Said Rashba said a chiddush. He said that even though a mummer is sometimes treated like a non-Jew, but when it comes to kivrei mummer, that metama. Meaning kivrei Yaakov and not metama. That's the gemara in the above of Mitzio. With Rabbi Bar Bachani, he met Eliyahu Hanavi in a Beis HaKfaris. He says, "Aren't you Pinchas? Pinchas is a kayeh. I thought a kohen's not only being metamed to a mace. What's going on over here?" So he told him it's kivrei Yaakov. Kivrei Yaakov made a metamed. What about a mummer? Is a mummer's kivrei metamed or not? Said the Rashba, it's metamed. You know, I know that because he's considered a ben. I know that from kedusha lamed vavam and aleph. And even though it's Rav Meir's sheet, then Rabbi Yehuda argues, and usually we pass it like Rabbi Yehuda. Over here we pass it like Rav Meir. So if he's considered banim, there's no way his kivrei is not metamed. That's the Rashba. It's the Rashba. And the truth, the Ramah brings the nuchas avelus to halacha. The goyin over there says the makar to this Ramah is the Rashba. The bottom line is this is gepaskin to halacha. We paskin like Rav Meir. That's what we spoke about in the beginning of Masechta Schulim. We spoke about Maral, Mamish Dvarim Nefla, but Ein Beis Medrash B'lei Chiddush. Number one. I was thinking that had Rav Meir know Ben Kach Hu Ben Kach Kriyim Banim. Maybe Rav Meir had a Rebbe. His name was Elisha Bar Avua, also known as Acher, and he went up to Shammai with the Malach Matat. They didn't stand up for him much about Rabbi Akiva, etc., etc. And there was a Baskel that came out. What did the Baskel say? Shuvu Banim Shayvavim Chutz Miacher. And Rav Meir knew about this Baskel. He had this exchange with Acher. So Gemara in Masechtas Chagiga Daf Tes Vavam and Aleph, Ayin Sham VaAyin Sham. It's a Mefurish Gemara. So Rav Meir knew about this Baskel. He was tapped in. He had inside information that in Shemayim there's a Baskel that says Shuvu Banim Shayvavim Chutz Miacher. What do you see from here? You see everything here because you see number one Shayvavim are called Banim. Shuvu Banim Shayvavim. Even if you're a Shayvav, you're completely spun out of control. Your life is a total wreck. It doesn't matter. Shuvu banim, you're still considered a ben. But you see even more than that, that even Acher, who's the one person, the one exception to the rule, shuvu banim, every single yid could do tshuva. There's one person who can't do tshuva, Acher. Even he was called a ben. Because if he wasn't called a ben, then it's not chutz mi'acher. Shuvu banim, in lumpus, is the ta'ej, anyone that's a ben could do tshuva, with the exception of Acher. Now if Acher is not a ben, then he's not an exception to the rule. He's not one of the shuvu banim. Shuvu banim shayvavim chutz mi'acher in lumpus is Mavur, that Acher is also considered a Ben. So Rav Meir knew that even Acher, even Elisha Bar Avua, who's the one person that they were Meneah from him, the Kaya Chachuva, even though we spoke at the Chidah, but Pashas, they were Meneah from him, the Kaya Chachuva, even he was considered a Ben. So what did Rav Meir say? Must be Benkach Hu Benkach Kriyim Bonin. You see, clearly, and by the way, maybe this Baskel is a Machriya that they're called Bon. Are you going to tell me, Toyo Lebe Shemaimi? I ain't a Dorm Dafchaf, ain't Kamakoim. But the bottom, the Gemara, and the end of the, yeah, whatever. But the point is, there's certain things that in Shemaim they know better than us. Right, so the Gemara says that even though Torah is Leib HaShamayim, but when it comes to certain, that's in Halacha. This is not a Shail of Halacha. Even though the Rashba says a Chatzach and Afkamina Halacha, but really, in Shamayim, they know better whether we're called Banim or not called Banim. But this is a Baskel, maybe that was Machriya like Rameir. But bottom line is, had Rameir know Benkach Benkach Kriyim Banim, he knew it from the Rebbe. He knew it from the Baskel. Shuvu Banim Shayvavim Chutz Miacher. And even Acher is called a Ben. Because otherwise, it wouldn't be Chutz Miacher. That's the first order. But the second order is two classic Mashapat Chachmas that I heard from the Rav Shlita Rabbi Shua Apple. The Ramei Simcha in Parshas Boy is darshaning. It's in the mitzvah of Tfilin. And it brings the Pasuk in Sefer Malachim, where the Pasuk is talking about The first Beis HaMikdash, Bayis Rishon, Shleim HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash. And what was the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? V'hayu einai v'libi sham kol hayomim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is that einai, my eyes, libi, my heart, is going to be there kol hayomim. Einai v'libi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be on Klal Yisrael. Says Rameh Simcha, einai, what does einai mean? Eretz asher einai Hashem alekecha ba mireis shana v'ad achr shana. Einai is ashkocha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be watching you. I'm going to take care of you. Yidden have a special Ashkocha Pratis, especially when they're living in Eretz Yisrael, like the Ramban talks about, the Yisim Yisibulam Yikol Amim, etc. So there's an idea, there's a special Hashkocha El Yoyna that the Yid has. That's V'hoye Enai. What's Libi? That's the Lay. That's a Hava. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Kadosh Baruch Hu also looks after us. Looks after us with his Enai. Proverbially speaking, loves us with his heart. Sham kol hayomim, says Rameh Simcha, that there's a special hashkacha that Klal Yisrael has, and there's a special ahava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has as well. So he says a dova nifla. He says, the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Just like we wear tefillin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wears tefillin. Amar Abin Bar Ado, Amar Rab Yitzchak. B'nayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu menech tefillin. How do you know the Eibishter wears tefillin? Sh'nema nishba Hashem b'minoi, u'besroya uzoi. Besroya uzoi, eilu tefillin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. So, the Gemara, Amar Rab Nachman b'Yitzchak, Rab Chiyah Bar Abin. So Rab Nachman b'Yitzchak, Esh Rab Chiyah Bar Abin. He said, Hane tefillin, the Mara Amu, Mak Sibbu. Eibishter wears tefillin? And what state in Eibishter's tefillin? Amalei, he told him, Mika Amchi Yisrael, Deyechad Baritz. You want to know what it says in the Eibishter's tefillin? Ah, talks about how much he loves Klal Yisrael. It says, Mi Amchi Yisrael, Deyechad Baritz. Rameh Simcha says that we know that there's a fundamental difference between the tefillin Shal Roish and the tefillin Shal Yad. The tefillin Shal Roish has four batim. The tefillin Shal Yad only has one bias. Why does it have four batim? It says, because we know that this Dalit Minim that we take on Sukkot. And the reason we take Dalit Minim is because each Min represents another type of Yid. There's a Yid who has a Tam V'Reach, he's the Estrig. Then there's the Tam V'Loi Reach, Reach V'Loi Tam. And then there's the Rosh, he has no Tam, he has no Reach, he has Gunishvat. Right, you have four Minim. You have Tam V'Reach, Tam V'Loi Reach, Reach V'Loi Tam, and Loi Tam V'Loi Reach. And they're represented in the four Minim. It says Rameh Simcha, the reason there's four batim in the Tefillin Shal Rosh is because when it comes to the Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to V'hoye Einai Shom Kol Hayomim, there's four classes. Depending on who you are and how you conduct yourself, that's going to determine the type and the level of Hashkacha HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have. If someone's a Tzadik, he's the Esrig, he has Tam V'Reach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Mashkeich one way. If someone is Chalila or Rasha, he's going to be in the opposite extreme. And then there's an in-between. But the point is that there's four batin that represent the four levels of V'hoye Einai. But says Rameh Simcha, that when it comes to the Tefillin Shal Yad, the Tefillin Shal Yad is not B'nei Necha. It doesn't represent V'hoye Einai. Where's the Tefillin Shal Yad? It's Keneged HaLev. And the Lev represents the V'libi Shom Kol Hayomim. The Lev is the Hav of Klal Yisrael. When it comes to the Hav of Klal Yisrael, there's no four Madregas. There's no Tam V'Reach, Tam V'Loi Reach, Reach V'Loi Tam, Loi Tam V'Loi Reach. It's all the same. Because when it comes to the Lev of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Bonim Atam L'Hashem Elokeichem, and it doesn't matter who you are, even if you're Bonim Mashchisim, but still Loyami Atam, but rather B'ni Kel Chai. Every single Yid is the same. There's no four compartments. When it comes to the Hashkoch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is represented in the Tefillin Shal Roish, which is B'nei Necho, like it says, V'Yo Einai, Shom Kol Hayomim, there's four batim. Because depending on who you are and how you conduct yourself, quid pro quo, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to conduct himself with you. But when it comes to the Tefillin Shal Yad, which is Keneged HaLev, which represents V'hoye Libi Shom Kol Hayomim, which represents the Ahava, in the Ahava there's no four bath. We're all bottom Hashem Lekechem. Hashem loves every Yid equally. Because the Ahava has nothing to do with what you do. You can't be Moisef in the Ahava, you can't be Megarei in the Ahava. The Ahava is 100% based on the fact that we're Banim L'Hashem L'Kechem. And if you're fortunate enough to be a Yid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to love you, and as a result, you're going to all be the same. So in the Tefillin Shal Roish, which represents the Hashgacha, there's four bat. But in Tefillin Shal Yad, says Rameh Simcha, half of a fella, over there it's only going to be one bias. So the Rav Shtel to another Rameh Simcha, another Meshech Chachma, and this is in Parshas Re'eh. The Pasuk is talking about the Mesis and the Madiach. And the Mesis and the Madiach is a Gefer L'Chamensh. And he wanted to take Yidin, and he's trying to persuade them to go away from Hashem and to be Oved Avodah Zarah. And we punish him very, very bad. You know why? Says the Pasuk, Ki Bikesh Lehadichacha Mi'al Hashem Elokecha. Because he wanted to remove you
You, the person that he was trying to convince to go away from the Eidishta, me'al Hashem alikecha. Says Rav Meisa, what does it mean, me'al Hashem alikecha? It's a funny lashon. Ki bikesh lehadichacha me'Hashem alikecha. What's me'al Hashem alikecha? Habir, says Rav Meisa Simcha. Api ma'da amru brachas davam amiralef. Tfil in the mariyama maksiv bu. Amaleu mika amcha Yisrael gayachad ba'aretz. Lachey, ha'mesis Yisrael l'avidazara. The person that's being mesis, a yid l'avidazara, roitze she'yosuru me'yoyz teferes l'Hashem Yisbarach. He wants to take him away from being the mika amcha Yisrael gayachad ba'aretz. And as a result, he wants to take you away from the tefillin shal reish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Devish, there was tefillin. And what state in the tefillin for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mi kamcha Yisrael gayachad ba'aretz. And by you being over by the Zorah, you're being removed. He's taking you out of the tefillin. And that's what he's doing. Thus, ki bikesh lahadichacha, me'al Hashem alekecha. And v'lech ha'reis nemef in the tefillin shal reish for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's me'al Hashem alekecha. But Rabbi Shua Abba said, gevaldig. He said that the diuk is me'al Hashem alekecha in the tefillin shal reish. Not the tefillin shal yad. You know why? Because he can never be removed from the tefillin shal yad. The tefillin shal yad is one bias. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be an Eved Avodah Zarah. That's this Gemara Kedushin. Daf Lamed Vav, where the Gemara says that even banim mashchisim, even if you're Eved Avodah Zarah, ki bonchel avodas kechavim, you would think like mikru banim, tashma, that you called banim. And not only you called banim, bnei ma'alya. Yeah, the Mason Adiach, he wants to move you within the Tefillin Shel Rosh. You're not going to be in this bias, you'll be in that bias, but that's all on the Tefillin Shel Rosh level. It's also with Tefillin Shel Yad, but from the Tefillin Shel Yad, he can't remove you. Because as it relates to Tefillin Shel Yad, that's something that's everybody is equal, and we'll have to save the second hour for tomorrow.